Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah, Dav Zayin, and we will begin on Dav Vav Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. At the end of the previous shiur, we learned that the Chachamim hold that the minimum dimensions of a sukkah require two walls of seven tefachim and one wall of a tefach. Ask the Gemara, for oisa tefach, that wall that's only a tefach large, heichan mamidoi, where is it placed? Amar Rav, so Rav says, mamidoi keneged hayotzei. We have to put it as an extension of one of the existing walls, as the two diagrams in Rashi on the side here indicate. The two full walls have to look like an L or an upside down L, a right angle. And Rav is telling us that this extra tefach has to extend from one of these two standing walls. Omle Rav Kahana Rav Asi L'Rav. Rav Kahana Rav Asi ask Rav, perhaps via Midena Kenega Rosh Tar, maybe it should be placed like the head of a axe or the head of a furrow, which is a little narrower. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is as in the diagram indicated in his top diagram in Rashi here, where we have this tefach wall extending from one of the existing walls, but instead of extending straight, it extends on an angle. And the Rishonim explain what is the advantage of this diagram. The advantage of doing it this way, explained the Rishonim, is because it looks more enclosed, because it seems to enclose the area more, and therefore it looks more like a sukkah. Tosfos, on the other hand, seems to learn that the proper diagram would be as the top diagram on the side of the Gemara, the Masoras Hashatz, where the Gemara is asking that this extra wall should be perhaps somewhat removed from the wall, and it looks more like an independent wall. Tosfos, however, then asks, if this extra wall would be a freestanding wall, wouldn't we have a concern of an issue that we discussed in Masechta Ervin of Osa Avir the High Gisa, Vasa Avir the High Gisa Mevatalei, that whenever we have a wall, if the empty areas surrounding the wall is more than the area of the wall, it is mevatel the wall, it makes the wall be considered non-existent. So Tosfos answers, and that's the way the Mefarshim explain Tosfos' answer, that since this wall, this piece of wall, is a tefach, and as we learned at the end of the previous shiur, the Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai teaches us that for the third wall of the sukkah, a wall the size of a tefach is considered a wall. So there is not, once we have a fully acceptable halachic wall, there is no longer a concern of asavir the hagisim vassal the hagisim vatal. Says the Gemara Shosuk Rav. Rav became quiet. So there's a machloikus rishonim. What does that mean? That Rav remained silent. The Balamor and Ritva said the Rav didn't feel the need to respond to this question. And the Ramban, however, in the Mechamis, says that Rav's silence means that he accepted this question. And the Mefarshim explained that we have many times in Shas that a question, one Amora asks another Amora question, and he remains silent. What does that silence indicate? So the Rishonim explain, if the person asking the question was a Talmud, a student of the Rebbe, so the Rebbe's silence is not necessarily an indication of acceptance. However, if the person asking the question is equal or greater, the fact that the person remains silent is an indication that he accepts the other person's position. Rav Kahana and Rav Asi were not Talmidim of Rav, and the fact that Rav remains quiet seems to be an indication that he accepted what they said. Et manami, Amr Shmuel Shmei the Levi, Mamidai Kneged Hayotze, became Marim B'Midrasha, that's what was taught in the Yeshiva, Mamidai Kneged Hayotze. Now the Gemara speaks about a different opinion, where this Tefach wall should be erected. Rav Sima V'Yitem Rav Shub and Levi Amar, Oislai Tefach Shaychik, and again we will use the top diagram in the Mesaris Hashas. He makes a Tefach, which is actually the extra long Tefach, as we explained earlier this week. There's a Tefach that's a little larger. It's a Tefach and an Etzba. Make this Tefach a large Tefach. Mamidoi Pachas Mishloish Tefachim Samach Ladoifen. Place it within three Tefachim of the wall. And we have a rule that Kol Pachas Mishloish Samach Ladoifen Kalav Adami. That whenever we have within three tefachim of the wall, we apply the concept of lavud. So we combine the three tefachim of the lavud plus the one tefach of the wall. So we have a combination of four tefachim. And by having a combination of four tefachim, which is the majority of seven, we therefore have an acceptable third wall. So Taisus teaches us that we need to have Taisus says, why do we need to have a wall the size of a tefach? Why wouldn't it be enough that we should just put a kana there? And by putting a thin board combined with lavud, we'll have three tefachim. So Taisus says there are two concerns when using a thin board. Number one, if we're going to only use a thin board, we will not have four tefachim. We'll only have a total, combining the actual thin board with lavud, of three tefachim. And Taisus says we want to have the majority of the seven tefachim that the Torah requires as the side of a sukkah covered. So we need four, not three. Furthermore, Taisus says that if we were only going to use a stick, we would have the concern of asa avir da high gisa, vasa avir da high gisa umavatalai. Asks the Aruch Lener, we just finished explaining that Taisus said that we don't have that consideration in our Gemara. So now the next Taisus says we have that concern. Answers the Aruch Lener, in the previous Taisus, the board that was being used was a tefach. And as we explained, Chazal teach us through the Halach L'Mosh Mesinai that as far as Hilchas Sukkah is concerned, this third wall, a tefach board, is a full-fledged wall. But that's only a tefach wall. Here, where Taisus is considering using a board that's only a kana, we don't have this special rule that it's considered a wall, that nothing could be mevatel that. And therefore, a kana would not be acceptable. But the question is, fine, we don't need to have, a kana won't work. But why do we have to have that this board be a tefach, and even actually a little more than a tefach? Why don't we just say that it should be a half a tefach or more, combining together with lavud, and we'll already have the majority of the wall? Or certainly we shouldn't require a tefach shaychik. So actually, the Meiri says that truthfully it would be enough. It would be enough. This is a Gzeiris Chazal that they wanted to make it stronger and they want you to use a Tefach Shaychik. However, the Ritva says it's not just that Chazal wanted us to have a Roiv, 4 inches. We want a Roiv Hanikr. And a Roiv Hanikr means 4 Tefachim plus that extra Shaychik, that extra wrap past the 4 Tefachim. The Mefarshim asks another question. If, according to Reb Simon, the way this third wall of a Tefach is erected is with this board that's a Tefach Shaychik plus Lavud, which gives us more than 4 Tefachim, so we now have the third side having an enclosure, at least halachically, of 4 out of the 7 tefachim, which are the standard wall sizes of a sukkah. Ask the Mefarshim, why do we now need, if this is the way it's erected? We said yesterday, and we said today, that there's a special halacha l'moshe m'Sinai that teaches us that the third wall, a tefach, is enough. We don't have to come on to that special. We don't have to rely on that special halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. We have here a situation of rubik kekulai. We have four tefachim of the required seven covered already. And why is there a need for a special halacha l'moshe m'Sinai to teach me that the third wall could just be a tefach? So the Mefarshim answer, and we actually spoke about this concept yesterday, Ruba Kekula could only be said when we have the entire item, and then we have the majority of it. The majority of a minion is 6 out of 10, 7 out of 10, what we spoke about. But here we don't have a wall of 7 that we could say, now I'm left with Roiv. We only started off with 4 Tfachim. There we can't apply the concept of Ruba Kekula. The Gemara gives another way of erecting these three walls. Omer of Yehuda, Sukkah HaSuya Kamavi. This is the second diagram on the side in the Masoret HaShatz. Here, the two walls of the Mavui are parallel to each other. The two walls of the Sukkah are parallel to each other, like the walls of a Mavui. It's kosher if you add a Tefach. However, Oysa Tefach Mamid El Chol Ruach Shiyutza. He could put that Tefach wherever he wants, and that will be a kosher sukkah. Rav Simon v'Tayim Rav Shimon Levi Amar, however, Oisloi Pas Arba Mashu, that third wall has to be at least 4 tefachim wide, Umamidoi B'Pachs Mishloisha Samach L'Doifin, and then place it within 3 tefachim of the one of the two side walls, the Kapachs Mishloisha, whenever you have less than 3 tefachim, we say loft. Ask the Gemara, Maishna Hasam, why in the previous ruling of Rabbi Simon, which was reflected in the upper diagram, do we say the Amrit Sagit Tefach Shaychik, that the board that's put up is just needs to be a little more than a Tefach wide? Or Maishna Hacha, why in this situation, Kamrit, does Rav Simon say the boy pass arba? We need that the board should be at least 4 tefachim wide. Answers the Gemara. Hasan the ikishnei the finest kol chasan. There were the two walls are erected properly. And what is the definition of properly? They're both 7 tefachim long, and they're joined by right angles. For as Rav Simon is now teaching us, the proper way for the two walls, for the two minimum walls that we have to have, is that they have to be touching each other on a right angle. Therefore, sagile b'tefach shaychik, having the board just being a tefach wide is adequate. However, hocha the lekish de defanis. However, in this situation where the two walls are not put up properly, they're running parallel to each other. In such a situation, pass arba, only with a board of 4 tefachim is it acceptable, iloi, otherwise it's not acceptable. As a machloikis, the Prima Godim and the Sfas Emes, if what Rav Simon is telling us here now is required midaraisa, only midrabonon. The Sfas Emes says that this requirement is only midrabonon, the Prima Godim says that it's required midaraisa. The Gemara in this piece of Gemara that we've been learning has taught us that we're relying on Lovud to make the Sukkah kosher. There was a Shaila asked, do we also perhaps use Lovud to make a Sukkah disqualified? The question was asked regarding if there are clothesline running on top of the Schach that are within 3 tefachim of each other. Do we say loved, and it's considered like all these clotheslines are touching each other, and therefore the sukkah is disqualified because it's under pasla schach? Clothesline are obviously pasla schach. The Miches Yitzchak actually says that one should be careful not to have such a situation l'chatchila above the sukkah. However, Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that b'di'evet certainly one may sit in such a sukkah, because he explains that we only use the concept of Lavud Lekula, not Lechumra. And he explains why. He says, what does Lavud say? What Lavud says is that an area which is actually open, but I, for my halachic requirements, need it to be closed. So the halacha of Lavud says that it could be closed. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, that's only where I want it truly to be closed. Just I don't have the ability to physically close it, so the halacha, so to speak, closes it for me. Here, I want it to remain open. It's to my disadvantage to have the space between the closed lines considered closed. Moreover, he says, this is the way I want it to remain forever, that these closed lines should remain separate lines. Therefore, we don't apply the concept of lavud here. So now the Gemara continues discussing this third wall. Amar Rava, so Rava says, "Ein in teres ela b'tzuras Pesach." We know that the halacha is that on Shabbos, in order to be able to carry in a mavui, we have to make, or to make an erev around the city, we have to make a tzuras Pesach. Tzuras Pesach is, as the name implies, it looks like a door. Two vertical poles, arkana, and a lechi across the top. Says Rava that when we have this sukkah that we're taking aboard, we have to have a tzuras HaPesach. That's the way this board should be erected. So as Tosfos explains, what Rava is saying, and this is evident in the bottom diagram on the side here, what Rava is teaching us is that it's not that we just take a board. In this version of Rava, it's not that we just take a board and we place it somewhere along the third side. That board has to be placed by dividing it in half, and then putting which will make it into two kairos, and then putting a lechi across the top of it. And that's the way Chazal wanted that third wall erected. Tosfos asks that when we learned Masechet Erevin, we know the halacha is that at Tzuras HaPesach, the kairos, the beams on the side of the Tzuras HaPesach don't have to have any specific width. Yet here we're saying that it has to have a tefach. So Tosfos explains that's part of what the halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim teaches us. The halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim teaches us that although normally a kairos doesn't have to have any specific width, here it has to have the width of a combined width of the two kairos of a tefach. Ikadamri, another version of what Rav is teaching us, Amar Rava, v'niteres nami b'tzuras HaPesach. That what Rav is teaching us is that we have an option. We either can use this tefach, having a third wall of a tefach, in the different ways we've explained it in today's shir, or we have another option of a Tzuras HaPesach. So Mefarshim ask, if Rav is teaching us that a Tzuras HaPesach is an acceptable wall, why, as we learned earlier this week, is the halacha that if one takes four poles and puts schach on top of them, the Gemara said it's not a kosher sukkah. If we have four poles on four corners, we have four Tzuras HaPesach. And at Tzuras HaPesach, Rav is teaching us, is considered a wall. So the Mefarshim answer. Rav is speaking, obviously, in a situation where we have two walls, and the third side is the Tzuras HaPesach. And that's what Rav is teaching us, the Halach L'Moshe Mitzrayim teaches us, that at Tzuras HaPesach, that could be considered the third wall. However, to rely on a sukkah, which will be completely and exclusively erected through Tzuras HaPesach, Rava will agree everybody will agree is unacceptable. And the reason being is a concept that we've spoken about. Tzuras HaPesach is a halachic wall. If we have Tzuras HaPesach around the city, it's considered that the city is enclosed. We're allowed to carry in the city on Shabbos if it's not a Rosh Hashanah Rabban Daraisa. But Tzuras HaPesach is not a physical wall. And part of what's required on Sukkot is that we sit in a room that's physically enclosed. Tzuras HaPesach could separate areas, but it doesn't physically enclose areas. However, there's an interesting shaila asked by the Minchas Yitzchak. Minchas Yitzchak discusses a situation where one has a sukkah, and he's concerned that the sukkah isn't sturdy enough, so he puts up in the middle of the sukkah some support. How does he put up a support? He puts up two vertical beams and one horizontal beam, which, if you think about it, is a Tzuras HaPesach. If a Tzuras HaPesach is considered a separation lahalocha, as the Minchas Yitzchak, why, if now the two sides of the sukkah, each one of them doesn't have the shear of a sukkah, each one of them isn't Zayin Tfachim by Zayin Tfachim, this Tzuras HaPesach that was constructed in the middle of the sukkah as the support should serve as a separator of the two sides of the sukkah and should disqualify the sukkah. So Minchas Yitzchak says that we only use the concept of Tzuras HaPesach l'kula, that it should be considered a wall, but to use it l'chumra to separate the sukkah, that Tzuras HaPesach is not used for. But we can apply, say, the Paiskim, the concept of Tzuras HaPesach l'kula, that let's say a person has a large area extending from his sukkah, a posel schach, perhaps by putting up Tzuras HaPesach, that could separate that area and we won't have such a large area of posel schach. There we want to use Tzuras HaPesach l'kula, it may be acceptable. A third version of what Rava said, Ikedamri Amar Rava Betzricha Nami Tzuras HaPesach. What Rava is teaching us is that besides that we need a board of a tefach placed wherever we've learned it has to be placed, Rava is also teaching us that it needs both a Tzuras HaPesach and that board. Ravashi Ashkechel Rav Kahana Dekava Tefach Shoichik. Ravashi found Rav Kahana making a tefach shoichik, like we learned of Simon Torres before, and then having three tefachim. That's the way to place the third wall of the sukkah. And also, Ka'ovet Tzuras HaPesach. He was also making it Tzuras HaPesach. Omlai Vesavol HaMalah HaDeRava. Don't you agree with what Rava taught us? Dama Rava V'niteres Nami B'Tzuras HaPesach. That a Tzuras HaPesach is also required. Omlai Anok Idach Lishna DeRava Svirlai. I hold like one of the other versions of Rava. Dama Rava Tzvich Nami Tzuras HaPesach. It's not that Tzuras HaPesach can be used in the place of the Tefach. The Tzuras HaPesach has to be used in addition to the Tefach. So we learned in the Mishnah Shtein Kol Chosam that you have to have two walls. For a sukkah, you have to have two walls, and the third wall could be a tefach. Such a structure is considered a kosher sukkah, but as far as Hilchos Shabbos is concerned, it's not considered a Rishus HaYochid. In fact, Rashi says, Rashi's approach to this Gemara is that it's not a Rishus HaYochid midaraisa even. Taisa says that albeit it may be a Rishus HaYochid midaraisa, but it's certainly not a Rishus HaYochid midrabbanan. The Chroinim ask on Rashi, how can we say that this area is not a Rishus HaYochid midaraisa? It has two walls and a third wall, and to be a minimal sukkah. So how can Rashi say that that's not a Rishus HaYochid midaraisa? So Mefarshim answer, the Chaznish explains it this way, that what's considered the better walls for Shabbos is just the opposite of what for sukkah. As we've explained in today's shiur, the two full walls for a sukkah should be placed at right angle, touching each other like an L. That makes it a good sukkah. For Shabbos, that is not considered acceptable. On the other hand, for Shabbos, what's better is that the two walls should be like the Mavui. The two walls should be parallel to each other, which we explained in Tapir Amid is not Kilchoson, is not the way we want the two walls of the sukkah erected. So when we're speaking about a situation that we only have two walls and another board for the sukkah, it's talking where the two walls are connected at the right angle, which is not even Rosh Hashanah according to Rashi Midaraisa. The Marcheshis asks, why is not considered Rosh Hashanah? How can we say that it's not Rosh Hashanah? At least Midaraisa, we're dealing here with an area that's covered. We're dealing with a sukkah. A sukkah has schach. So how can we say it's not Rosh Hashanah? Says the Marcheshes, since the schach is only placed temporarily for the duration of sukkahs, it's not considered a covered area that should make it into, that should take it out from the category of Rosh Hashanah. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabba, V'chein l'Shabbos, that if an area is considered a kosher sukkah, it also becomes a full-fledged Rishus HaYochid for Hilchus Shabbos also. Why? Miga to have a doifin in your sukkah, since it's considered an enclosed area as far as Hilchus Sukkah is concerned, have a doifin in your Shabbos. It's also considered acceptable for Hilchus Shabbos. Ask the Ran, perhaps we should say just the opposite. Why don't we say that since it's not considered, and especially according to Rashi, the question is very strong, since it's not considered an acceptable sukkah, since it's not considered acceptable Rosh Hashanah for Shabbos, it should not be considered an acceptable sukkah either. Answers the Ran. The Tosuk says, "Besukkas teishvu shivas yomim." You should live in a sukkah for 7 days. What's the Pasuk teaching us, says the Ran? The Pasuk is teaching us is that any sukkah that the Torah tells us is a kosher sukkah, is a sukkah that can be used for 7 days. This configuration is acceptable for all 7 days. Now, in 7 days, you're going to have at least one day that's Shabbos. Yet the Torah is telling us that you could sit in that sukkah. So it's proof that the Torah is teaching us that, albeit this area may not be considered Rosh Hashanah all the time, on Sukkot it is considered Rosh Hashanah. As the Pnei Yeshua, perhaps the Pasuk was referring to a situation that the Sukkot is standing in an enclosed yard. So it's a Rosh Hashanah anyway because it's an enclosed yard. So Farshim answer that when the Torah speaks about a Sukkot being kosher, the Torah doesn't specify that it has to be an enclosed yard. The Torah says that this is a kosher sukkah under all circumstances, whether it's in an enclosed yard or not. Eisvei Abaya asks Abaya, Umi amrin amigui, do we say this concept of amigui to make a sukkah kosher this way? For Tanya, doifin sukkah and gedoifin Shabbos. The sukkah walls have the same rules as the Shabbos walls. If one doesn't have enough material to erect a wall, he could take strings or boards, as long as there's between each one less than 3 tefachim, it's considered that we erected a wall through lavet. Furthermore, says the Braisa, if you say Shabbos al sukkah, Shabbos and the terrace el ba'imim rebel aparat, to carry on Shabbos through partitions, the wall portion of the enclosed area must exceed the gaps. Masha'en came to sukkah. My lav. So Abai says, what isn't the Braisa teaching us that you say Shabbos to sukkah, sukkah? That on Shabbos of sukkahs, there are stringencies that don't apply to the rest of sukkahs. Because loyam min amigui. And therefore, although this area for the rest of the yontif is considered an enclosed area, it will not be acceptable for Shabbos sukkah. Loy. Says Rava, what the Braisa means to say is, you say Shabbos to alma, Shabbos to sukkah. What is not acceptable on a normal Shabbos is acceptable on Shabbos sukkahs. Because since it's considered an acceptable wall for sukkah, it's an acceptable wall for Shabbos. Says the Gemara, if that's true, that if something is acceptable for sukkahs, it becomes acceptable for Shabbos, one, we say the reverse also, Ehochi, listening nami, you say a sukkah the alma, a sukkah the Shabbos, we should say that something which is kosher for a Shabbos should be kosher for sukkah. The ilus sukkah the alma, when we normally have a sukkah, we explained that the third wall, according to Reb Simon, boy tefach soichik, we need that third wall should be larger than a tefach, and then it should be distanced within 3 tefachim of the wall. That's how that third wall should look. V'ilu sukkah the Shabbos, we should say on the Shabbos sukkahs, loy boy tefach soichik, we won't require tefach seichik, v'sagi v'lechi, and a lechi of any width should be acceptable. That who the amrit, aren't you rather the one that taught us sichik agav mavui sheyesh lechi? If one covers with schach on a mavui that has a lechi, the sukkah is kosher. Why? Because since a lechi is viewed as a wall as far as Hilchus Shabbos is concerned, it's also so as far as Hilchus Sukkah is concerned. So now the Gemara is saying, if you're saying that if something is acceptable for Sukkahs, it's acceptable for Shabbos, then if it's acceptable for Shabbos, it should be acceptable for Sukkah. So, as says the Gemara, Hahulay Tzuchalay. Certainly that's the case. Just rather than have to teach us that din. Because hashtem akilta l'chamir t'amrinin, if we say that if something is acceptable for Sukkahs, which is not as serious of an issue as Shabbos, there's no chiv misa for Sukkah. Still we're saying it's acceptable for Hilchus Shabbos, michamirta l'skilta. So if something is acceptable for Hilchus Shabbos, which is a chiv skila, l'kilta for Hilchus Sukkah, l'koshken, it's certainly acceptable. However, Rashi says that this structure, two walls and a lechi, which we're saying is considered an enclosed area for Hilchus Shabbos, and therefore is also considered acceptable for Sukkah, will only be acceptable for Shabbos Sukkahs, will not be acceptable for the rest of the Yontav Sukkahs. Gufa, says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Sichach Gabi Mavi Sheyesh Lechi, if somebody puts Schach over an open Mavi that has a Lechi, Kshera. Since it's kosher as a closed area for Sukkahs, for Shabbos it's acceptable for Sukkahs. V'yomer Rava, Sichach Gabi Pasah Baros, if somebody puts on schach on areas called Pasah Baros, we spoke about it earlier this week, the Gemara Masechta Erevin says, when Klal Yisrael would go up to be oil regal to Yerushalayim, they would go in mass, and they would travel. They would need to get to water on Shabbos. The water was in a water pit, which is a Shusayachid. The area outside that water pit was a Shusarabim. How could they get to water? So Chazal said that if you take four right angle boards, each board being at least an amma, and enclose the area, that area is considered a Rishus HaYochid, and water can be taken from inside the water pit to the area outside that. Tells us Rava that if one puts Schach on top of the Pasei Baros, that will be acceptable Sukkah. So actually we've learned three halachas. We've learned that the tefach wide third wall of a sukkah is acceptable for Shabbos. We learned that the lechi of an open mavui can serve as a sukkah wall on Shabbos sukkahs. And we learned that the pasah baros can serve as sukkah walls. Why do we have to say this same concept three times? The yashmina mavui, if we would only speak about the case of an open mavui, they're two full-fledged walls. Regarding Pasah Baros, the Lekishtei Tfanis Mal Yisah, there are no two full walls. Emeloi, I perhaps would say that we don't apply the concept of Mavui. V'yashmin and Pasah Baros, on the other hand, if we only taught us the halacha by Pasah Baros, we would say Mishum De'ikishem Abba Tfanis. Although we may not have actually four walls, we have something on each side. But in a situation where we covered the mavui, the lekashem abadafanis, not all four sides have some sort of a covering. Emeloi, it should not be acceptable. So that's why we had to have both these dinim. V'yashmin hanitati, if we would only have these two rules, in both these situations we're talking about mechamirta lekilta. We're saying something which is acceptable for Shabbos is also acceptable for Sukkah, Shabbos being more severe. Avol mikiltel chamirta emeloi, to say that says because something is acceptable for Hilchus Sukkah, it should also be acceptable for Hilchus Shabbos. Perhaps we wouldn't say that. That's why Tzrich we had to say the third ruling also. The Paiskim discuss applying this concept of migui to other areas halacha. One of the areas that's discussed is if someone Shabbos morning realizes that he doesn't have tzitzis on his talus. Now, putting tzitzis on the talus involves making a kshira, making a knot. But we know that the only knot that's also on Shabbos is a kesher shakayama. So perhaps what this person could do is tie tzitzis knots to his talus Shabbos morning, with the intention that he'll untie these knots by Matzoi Shabbos, and he won't have an issue because it's not a permanent knot. Say the Paiskim, applying this concept of Migui, that since it's considered a knot for Hilchus Tzitzis, otherwise there's no point in what you're doing, it's also considered a knot as far as Hilchus Shabbos is concerned. Another Shaila that Zeruah discusses. The halacha is that Kiddush could be made on wine, preferably, but it could also be made on bread. Havdalah may not be made on bread. What would be the halacha, asked the Zeruah, if it's Matzoi Shabbos, which is also Yontif? So Havdalah has to be made and Kiddush has to be made. And although normally I can't make Havdalah on bread, here we should say that since we can make the Kiddush on the bread, we could also make the Havdalah on the bread. So the Zeruah says perhaps it would be permissible, but the Paiskim say it's not permissible. And they explain, when we say this concept of Migui, by saying a wall is a good wall for Sukkah, and therefore it's a good wall for Shabbos, or vice versa, there is no contradiction between Hilchus Shabbos and Hilchus Sukkah. And therefore, we could apply the concept of Migui. However, regarding Kiddush and Havdalah, which are two contradictory actions, Kiddush is making the day holy, and Havdalah separating ourselves from the day, we can't apply the concept of Migui. The Mishnah taught us that Shechamsa Meruba Mitzilsa, if there's more sun than shade in the Sukkah is disqualified. Tana Rabbanan, Chamsa Machmas Sikuch, let's say the sun coming in, not because of the Schach, the shade is coming in because there's a gap between the wall and the Schach, which lets in the shade. So the Rabbanan say, Chamsa Machmas Sikuch, V'loi Machmas Defanis, that if that is what's causing the sun to come in, it doesn't disqualify the Sukkah. Even if it's coming in because of the walls, it disqualifies the Sukkah. The Torah says, Proiches, Mechitza. What is the purpose of the Proiches? As we've learned, the Proiches are what separates the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaGadoshim. So it's a vertical curtain, a vertical partition, and still the Torah uses the word schach regarding it. So we see that the vertical partitions have to have the same halachas as the schach. According to Rabbanan, that say that the halachas of schach apply strictly to the covering of the sukkah, not to the walls. What are they going to do with this pasuk? Who the naked bay porter the Mexican schach? What the Torah is teaching us is that the proiches, besides being vertical as a separating factor between the kodesh and kodesh kedoshim, should be bent somewhat inwards towards the kodesh kedoshim. That already is roof-like. That's what the Torah meant when it calls the proiches schach. There's machloikis, mashal, and mashal. According to Rabbi Oishia, that is taking into such consideration the walls, will the walls only be allowed to be made out of materials that are kosher to be used for schach? The Mashah says that according to Rabbi Oishia, the walls have to be made out of material, exclusively out of material that is kosher for schach. If Rabbi Oishia gives teaching us these halakas regarding the walls, the Mashal disagrees, and he says that although Rabbi Oishia takes the schach into consideration, the walls into consideration for chamsa meruba mitzilsa, he doesn't require, says the Mashal, that the walls be made out of strictly out of material that's kosher for schach. What would be a nafkamina? The nafkamina is just the opposite. Let's say we could only achieve tzilsa meruba mechamsa by combining the walls with the schach. According to the Mashah, that the walls have to be made out of strictly out of kosher material, we could achieve tzilsa meruba mechamsa by combining the walls with the schach. On the other hand, according to the Mashal, who doesn't have that requirement, we could use other materials to make the walls. We cannot use the walls to combine for Tzilsim Ruba Mechamsa. Amr Abaya teaches us Abaya. Rebbe, Rebbe Oishi, Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe Gamliel, Rebbe Shammai, Rebbe Lezer, V'Acherim, Kula Svirlehu, they all teach us that Sukkah Diras Kva Binan. The Sukkah needs to be a Diras Kva. So Tosfos explains, although the Gemara lists all these different Tanoim that told, and the Gemara is going to explain each one, that told that a sukkah has to be Diras Kva, it doesn't mean that each one of these Tanoim agree with each other one's rule. They all their independent rules are based on the same concept, that a sukkah has to be a Diras Kva. Moreover, says Tosfos, that wherever the Gemara uses the wording of Kuloi Svirlehu, it's to teach us they all hold that way, but that's not the way the halacha is. And the Shem Tzion of Halacha says that there are two different wordings that we find in the Torah. Sometimes the Torah uses the word, the Gemara uses the words Kula Svirlehu, and sometimes the Gemara says that this Tana and this Tana say the same thing. Says the Shem Tzion of Halacha, when the Gemara uses the wording Kula Svirlehu, it means that we don't pask in that way. When the Gemara says this Tana and that Tana say the same way, then that is taken into consideration for a Psak Halacha. Rebbe, what is Rebbe? The Tanya Rebbe Oima. Kalsukah shein by arba amos al arba amos. Any sukkah that doesn't have the dimensions of 4 amos by 4 amos, psula. Why does Rebbe need that the sukkah should be 4 amos by 4 amos? Because he needs it should be a diras kva. The Karban Asanal points out that when we discussed the subject of diras kva at the beginning of the Masechta on that base, we asked, according to the man the Omer, that says that the sukkah is a diras kva, doesn't mean that the sukkah may be a diras kva. Or these mandamim hold that a sukkah must be a diras kva? Says the Karban Asanal, it seems from this Gemara that the Gemara is saying, the Gemara is teaching us that the sukkah must be a diras kva. Rabbi Yishu Adamar, Rabbi Yishu, what we just taught, says that the walls of the sukkah can't let in sun. Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanan, sukkah she lamala me'esrim amma, a sukkah she gvar lamala me'esrim amma, a sukkah that's taller than 20 amas, psula. Rabbi Yehuda Machsha, even though sturdy walls have to be used to build a sukkah. And explain the Rishonim. Even though, as we explained at the beginning of the Masechta, the basis of Rabbi Huda's psak is not necessarily because he holds that a sukkah has to be a diras kva, but once Rabbi Huda teaches us that a sukkah can be 20 amas tall, it's obvious, and you can't have a 20 amas structure without sturdy walls, so it's an indication that a sukkah could be 20 amas. Rav Shimon de Tanya, Shtayim Kilchason, Vishlishis Afilo Tefach. We learned yesterday that the Rabbanon hold that the sukkah is two full walls, and the third wall is only a tefach. Rav Shimon, Mishalish Kilchason, Previous Afilo Tefach, three full walls, and the fourth one can be a tefach. And as the Gemara explained, why does Rav Shimon require this? Because Rav Shimon requires that the sukkah, as the Pasuk in Yeshaya taught us, that the sukkah should be a structure that could protect us from all the various elements. So we see that the sukkah should be a deiris kva, a sturdy structure. Rav Gamliel, the Tanya, if somebody makes a sukkah on top of a wagon or on top of a ship, Rav Gamliel says it's disqualified. Why? Because something on top of a wagon, as Rashi tells us, moves around, it's not a deiris kva. Bashamai, the Tanan, Misha Yerosh Ruba Sukkah, Fishulchan B'Sochabai, somebody who he and most of his body is in the Sukkah, but his table's in the house. Bashamai Paislin, Mechsil Mechshirim. Why do Bashamai hold its parcel? Because if your table's not in the Sukkah, it's not a Diras Kva. Rabbi Lezer, the Tanan, Hoys the Sukkah Sukkim in Srif, if somebody makes his Sukkah like a round hut, or Shisamchel a Kaisel, or he put it against the wall, Rabbi Lezer Paisel, Sheinoi. A tzrif is more like a teepee, rather. It's round on the bottom and comes to a point on top. Rav Elazar posel fish ein legag because it doesn't have a roof. Echam machshirim. Obviously, Rav Elazar holds its posel because it doesn't look like a dira, and a sukkah should be more of a dira's kva. Acherim, the Tanya, Achayim Oimrim, Sukkah Asuyaka Shoivach, a sukkah that made round like a chicken coop, Psula, Lefisha Enlo is obvious, because it doesn't have corners, and a fixed residence, a Diras Kva, always has corners. It's a full-fledged room, not just a round room. And therefore, it's another shita that holds that the sukkah has to be a Diras Kva.